Hi, my name is Winfrey. This is Winfrey of the Don and Win Show. And you folks that are on are in for another hour of who knows what's going to happen in the amazing dynamic interchange between Don Newsome and Winfrey. Don, are you there?
I'm here, Win. It's a pleasure to be here.
Are you volatile tonight?
Pardon me?
Are you volatile?
Every night, buddy. Every night.
Every night?
Volatile.
Glad to hear it.
Of course.
And we have a special guest tonight.
That's correct.
All our guests are special, though. But this one's special because he's on tonight.
Well, you're with us. That's pretty special.
He's special?
You're special.
Well... No, we're all special. We know all that.
Well, it's good to be here. Yeah.
But if I'm so special, why do you interrupt me so much? God, you're a special interrupter.
I am.
In any case, James Gilligan has a show that's...
He also has a new last name, it seems.
But he does?
It seems so.
Why is that?
Or sounds so.
Not Gilligan anymore?
Well, I don't know unless he's meeting up with Marianne and the Skipper.
Toby Gillis, you mean? Gilligan, right? Oh, wait a second. You say it, Don.
Well, you can say it. I'm sure you can say it.
I'm saying it wrong.
Yeah, but I just love listening to you.
You just... James is on the line. James, say your last name, James.
It's... Gilliland.
Gilliland.
Correct.
That's right. I do know that.
James, you do now.
Are you with us, James?
James? James.
Well, I guess we're not having James on tonight, Don.
I guess...
You know what I told you at the beginning? I said anything can happen. This is the Don and Win Show.
This is the Don and Win Show. Well, why don't we just get him on? We'll do it this way. Remember, he was having some phone difficulty. So we'll try him on the other line. What are you eating? Are you eating something?
Chewing ice.
Sounds like you're crunching something.
Hello?
All right.
Something's going on. I could not...
You're going into the system now. Okay, now we have James with us. How are you, James? James? James.
Hello?
Gentlemen, this is another technical night brought to you by Don Newsome and PBS Radio.
I'll take that credit. Thank you.
Am I supposed to be hearing this?
Hey, on the Don and Win Show, you'd never quite know what you're going to hear. So it really doesn't matter.
I can hear you, but that's all.
Okay, well, Win's chewing some ice in the background. I've given him a mission, and so he's on a mission to chew ice.
You see, we're very professional.
Oh, okay.
Win is chewing ice, and Don is losing James. Win has mispronounced the name of their wonderful special guest this evening.
That's wonderful with a W.
James, are you on the line?
Yeah, I'm here.
So we're succeeding. We've got it all together, right?
Oh, it's pretty good. A little low, but I can hear you.
Is the volume low for you?
It's better now, yeah. I'm having all kinds of technical problems here on my end because my whole studio here just is not answering the phone. I don't know why.
Mm-hmm. Because your volume is low.
Okay.
Some of you may know who James is. He's certainly well known as a lecturer, and many people look to him as I don't like to use this word, James, but for lack of better words, if we were in the times of the Old Testament, you might be a prophet. You have contact with sources on the other side. other dimensions. You've written books about it. They pay attention to you. They buzz your house. You're a property with all kinds of spaceships. You're probably one of the most documented, incredible locations in the world where some kind of UFO activity is happening on an ongoing basis, and that with many, 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 many witnesses. Could we say that, James?
I would say that. Yeah, it's, I like to be called nobody. That works better for me. But
nobody?
Yeah.
Well, nobody, only spirit, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? It's terrible when you try to describe anybody. I mean, God, I hope, you try to give people a hint of what somebody might bring forward to them. And the problem is, however you describe them, particularly when people are bringing forth very enlightening, uplifting,
and controversial.
Controversial things. You know, it's like, you know, how do you introduce that? I mean, for one thing, I've learned that no matter what I say about you, or no matter what somebody says about me, every person has to come to their own scrutiny and their own conclusion about what somebody has to offer them.
Exactly.
They shouldn't believe me. They shouldn't believe Don. They shouldn't believe you. So the key is to get them interested enough so they'll pay attention. So maybe they'll consider.
I think ultimately it depends on everybody's own inner sensitivity and their own awareness and as to what they experience. Because one person might be functioning on a very low level of consciousness, and they would see you as some total nutcase, you know, because it doesn't have anything to do with their beer and their TV and their, you know, the program they're running.
Right.
So whereas, you know, other people that are really awake would, you know, hear the message and it would resonate within them. So it just depends on where you're coming from. And
I agree. Can I interject something here so that we have it on record? Now, the audience has been listening to us for quite some time, Wynn. And they've been hearing your audio or my audio has been funky since day one. Always because if I'm into the system, it sounds really wild and I sound very loud and you guys sound very low. And now we have not only we're using both lines, but I'm broken into it as well. But, you know, funny, it sounds fabulous. I'm sure the audience can hear both of you and me at pretty similar audio levels. Now, when the audience emails me next time about shows, with Wynn and I being way off balance, Wynn, whatever you're doing today, continue doing it, because I'm doing nothing different.
I'm just talking on my cell phone.
Maybe we got a little help from the other side here.
Maybe, but it sounds fabulous. You're loud and clear, Wynn.
Okay. So, listen, we only got 40 minutes here, and we got to tell the world who James is and what he's got to offer. And my intent on bringing this show is to bring our audience the provocative things that they can check out for themselves, because there's some extraordinary claims being made by certain people about what's happening on our planet. Me being one of them, you know, having a girlfriend's channeling saying that we're on the verge of ascension, we're having a dimensional shift, you know. And it's like, why should anyone believe me? I mean, they shouldn't. They should check me out. They should read my books. They should read my websites and draw their own conclusions. Everything has to start with making somebody curious and curious enough to investigate, and then they can use their own discernment and their own evaluation process. So, James, why should anyone pay attention to what you're saying?
Oh, really, they're paying attention to their own inner guidance, basically, I'm hoping, and running this through their own filters. But it's very important right now because we are going through some just phenomenal changes, and, you know, we are going through the ascension process. And, you know, even the Earth's Schumann resonance is going off the scale right now. So, you know, it's pretty undeniable. The, you know, the whole solar system is moving to a new place, you know, in the universe, and it's glowing, you know, 1,000 times brighter. All the planets are brighter. They're up to 4 times brighter. They're going through atmospheric changes. All of this is measurable. So, you know, now the science is behind it.
The scientists all know this is going on.
Yes, they do, but, you know, they just got a, not to get political, but they were just given a memorandum to all the scientists saying that basically they're going to lose their funding if they talk about this, you know, from our present administration. If they talk about any climactic changes, any earth changes, any big shifts in consciousness or anything, that they'll pull their funding. Everything has to be cleared through the White House now.
Did you hear that all the
That's amazing.
Did you hear that all the independent earthquake reporters were told they couldn't report anymore?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I mean,
you know, and they just had an 8.3 quake hit Japan and just last night. And you know, everybody was on a tsunami watch there. And it was, luckily, it wasn't that big of a tsunami. I think there's going to come a point where we're not even going to know what happens around the world. We're going to be spoon-fed something else, and the only way to really know is to go there and check it out yourself.
Was that 8.3 tsunami in the news, or the earthquake?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It wasn't really. It was on the Internet. I didn't hear anything on the local news, on the radio, or anything else, but it could have. It probably got a little bit of lip service.
Well, James, really, I'll ask you the question in a different way that I started asking you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I said, why should someone take you seriously?
And I don't take myself seriously.
Well, I take you seriously. you know, when you start to access information from other dimensions, and I know you have channeled in the past, and your channelings, and your, I've read your two books, and they're extraordinarily deep and wise. When you start accessing that, how did you validate to yourself that it was real and that it was positive? You know, everyone, how did it first happen? How did you react the first time it happened? Were you like, were you saying, wow, or were you saying, what's this, or I better check this out? Like, you know.
Yeah, well, there's so many different experiences that validated what was going on that it'd be hard to pigeonhole any of it, but, you know, as a kid, I had several near-death experiences when I was around 5 years old. I had bronchial pneumonia, and I had a woman with electric blue eyes come to me, just beautiful woman, and she would appear to me and stroke my head and talk to me, and she actually gave me this substance that the only thing I could explain, it looked like ice cream, but there was nothing to it. It was very light, and every time I ate this substance, I would pull out of it. And they would call my parents and say, well, we think he's not going to make it through the night. And then I'd have this vision, this experience, and I'd pull out of it. And that happened at least 5 times, maybe more. But that was the first experience. And I
Let me just clarify. The woman who gave you the substance, was this a real physical being or was this an astral being?
Well, what happened was afterwards I kept asking for the woman, and because she was all dressed in blue. And nobody knew about it. They all wore green outfits, and they said there's no way that could have happened. There is nobody in blue. So apparently it was, you know, in between worlds, or you know, I was in kind of a coma and out of it, and I was on the other side having these experiences. But it happened there in the hospital setting, but I was just outside of this frequency that we all think is so physical. But there's another experience after that. As a kid, I had quite a few, you know, UFO experiences and, you know, out-of-body experiences, and that was happening quite a bit. But
well, describe it. I mean, were you in a UFO? Did you meet with ETs?
Well, what happened was
Because most people don't remember that stuff.
Yeah, what happened was I don't have total recall on that because there's a reason why I do now. I'm more aware of it now. But at the time, they said it would have interfered too much in my life. And so when those experiences were happening, I remember vaguely some very beautiful beings, like kind of Nordic, and then I went out and they did things, which I'm not exactly sure what happened, and then came back. And I think they were kind of tuning my body up and helping me out. But after that experience, I was never sick after that. I didn't miss one day of school, all through elementary school or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, everything, there's so much negative press out there, you know, about contact and about these ultra-dimensional beings and trying to make it look like they're all here to conquer us and eat us and, you know, tinker with us and everything else. And there's a little bit of that going on, but the majority of it is benevolent, but nobody's talking about the benevolent side of contact. It's kind of sad. You're not hearing it. It's all fear and suspense. And, you know, they're making all these movies to connect with people's, you know, what Eckhart Tolle calls their pain bodies. And so all these movies they're putting out to create fear and suspense and victim patterns and everything, that's because everybody's focused on that. And you know, that's how they can rake in the bucks. But it's kind of sad that they're not putting out the positive message, like, you know, E.T. was pretty positive, Cocoon was pretty positive, but almost everything else.
Do you remember the movie Forbidden Planet?
Yeah, I do.
Did you like that one?
I'm trying. That was one where the thoughts were creating everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty interesting, and it was just some big crawling brain or something doing it all.
I thought that was really, really advanced for its time.
Yeah.
Of course, must have been advanced for my time because I saw that movie, you know, years and years ago.
I'm trying to remember which one, because there was two of them. One was, okay, Forbidden Planet was the one where they had the robot in there and everything.
Right.
Was that the one? Okay, yeah. I'm getting another one.
I mean, what it was is this guy made this machine to manifest his thoughts.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so you put that little cap on.
And you didn't have the right consciousness for it.
What happened? And in general, he thought he was doing this and making life easier.
Yeah.
But what he didn't, you know, what he didn't know is that the thing was also manifesting as unconscious monsters.
Exactly.
And so there were all these monsters attacking this colony. And,
it looks like the whole planet is doing that right now.
And they didn't know where it was coming from. But it was from this guy that had this cap on. Did you see that movie, Don? Don?
Actually, no, I didn't.
Yeah. Well, you know, it seems like that's happening on a planetary scale right now. Everybody's monsters are coming up. And the energy that's coming in is creating, you know, these realities and bringing all the hidden garbage up and the hidden angers and wounds and traumas and wrong conclusions. And, you know, it's really tough right now in relationships and just about everything because everything's being pushed right up to the surface for us to take a look at.
Well, when did you first have, so let's see, you started out and you had that experience with that blue-eyed lady?
Yes, uh-huh.
Who did kind of a healing thing with you.
Mm-hmm.
On maybe what would be the astral plane or something?
Yeah, that was one of the experiences. And then I had a drowning. You know, I got into the material world and was very involved in commercial real estate, and I did everything you're supposed to do to be a success and be happy. And, you know, I had the fast car, you know, the boat and the truck and the big house and all that stuff, and you know, was on my own office, and, you know, and then I had then my next experience came, and that was the drowning, where I actually drowned and was gone for quite some time, went through the tunnel.
You really drowned.
Yeah, I was gone for quite some time. But they had sneaker waves come in. I was out body surfing, and they had some 25-foot to 27-foot sneaker waves come in. And it was in a place called Little Corona down in California. And, that was the biggest wake-up call I had because, you know, when I came back.
How many years ago was that?
That was about 25 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I was, you know, when I came back, I saw the emptiness of the life I was living and how shallow and superficial it was. And there was really no depth of feeling or love or consciousness there. And, and it was very sad because it was a dog-eat-dog world. You know, you had to have a constant lawyer covering your butt and people are always trying to sue you. And it was just Crazyville, you know, and I just couldn't function in that world anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I was ultra sensitive, and I would hear what people were thinking, and I'd feel what they were feeling, and then I would hear their words, you know, coming out of their mouth, and nothing made sense because people aren't congruent. You know, they think one thing, say something else, and feel something totally different.
Yeah.
And it was very intense for me. I was ultra sensitive, and so it took me a while to deal with that, and I moved up into the Redwoods and up in Northern California and lived up there for a while to get grounded again, you know, with the new energies.
Now, at that point, how many years ago was that?
That was 25 years ago.
25?
Give or take a year or two. I don't know. Time is really hard for me.
You still haven't had a lot of ET experiences at that point or challenges?
No. I was on a... After that experience... I got involved with the Tibetan Foundation, and it's kind of interesting because in my near-death experience or whatever, when I crossed over and came, I went through the tunnel, and then end up in this just golden white light that was just pure consciousness and energy, and I had a conversation with it, and I was part of it, but there was a greater intelligence surrounding me, you might say, a greater consciousness. And it was the most loving, joyous, blissful energy you can imagine. It was just beyond words. And I had a conversation with it, with this consciousness. And the first thing I asked was, how can I stay? Because you just want to stay there. It's just the most overwhelming, loving, blissful energy you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And the voice came back to me, you know, and it said, I've never told my children when to come or go. That's free will.
Mm-hmm.
And so... I had to think about that for a while and kind of process, you know, that to, you know, what I've been taught all my life and everything else, because I still maintained my consciousness while I was there to a much higher level. And the next thing I said, how can I earn the right to stay? And the voice came back to me and said, you cannot earn what is given freely and unconditionally. And so I sat there floating in that light for a while. And then the last thing I said was, you know, I just want to come back and serve. You know, I want to give something back. You know, what can I do? And I said, this image that people have been given of God is just so off. It's so wrong. You know, this guilt and fear and unworthiness and all this garbage that's laid on them. I said, it doesn't measure up to this at all. And I said, I want to come back and, you know, teach people about the true nature of the source and what it really is. And,
were you brought up in a religious environment?
Not really. I was brought up, I went to a Catholic school because it was the only school in the desert town where I lived, but I didn't have it hammered into me too much. I always believed there was a higher force. I always felt at home with it in nature, but I did have some programming, which I definitely had to let go of, you know, that was dumped on me a little bit at the church, at the Catholic school. But anyway, the last words I heard were as you wish, and then I felt myself coming back into the body, and there was the guy pulling me up on the shore, and then the guy asked me if I was okay, and I said yes, but I wasn't, and then I passed out and woke up in a big pool of water, and but that was that experience, and then from then on
years ago was that one approximately?
That was about 25 years ago.
So that was just a new transition then.
Yeah, that was the biggest transition. And then after that, I went to some organized religions, you know, more fundamentalist religions, and they couldn't answer any of my questions about, you know, God and the universe. And, and it was either, you know, God or the devil, and everything they didn't understand went into the devil category.
Mm-hmm.
So they couldn't answer my questions. And then I met a little old lady that was a psychic. And very, very clear. And I watched her work with these people, and just she'd hold their keys or do something, and she would tell them all this stuff about it. Even this one woman, she told her she was pregnant, you know, and she didn't know, and it turned out she was pregnant, you know. And, you know, detailed information. I said, boy, this woman's good, you know. And so I gave her my keys. And she held on the keys, and she just turned and looked at me and got a big grin on her face. And she said, you've been to the other side, haven't you? And I said, well, yeah, I have, you know. And she said, you need to get out of here. And that was when I was in Orange County. She goes, you need to get out of here. And I said, yeah, I know. And she said, you know, there's no support for who you are or what you're doing here. So, and then she told me a few other things. It was very powerful. And after that, and then I went and studied with the, I studied yoga for quite a few years, 6 years intently, and then probably 11 more years in practice, mm-hmm. in meditation. And I worked with the Tibetan Foundation, went through their program, and I went through the Teachings of the Inner Christ program, which is a blend of East and West. And that's where I got the answers about, you know, all the different dimensions and planes and how to heal unseen negative influences and how to maintain, you know, your self-authority and, you know, and really get out of this body and go check out these other planes and dimensions.
Mm-hmm. So when did you have your first experience with channeling? And how did you respond to it?
The first time, the first experience was with Ezekiel that came into me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the ascended version of Ezekiel who actually soul merged with the feminine energy by the name of Cassia. And you have to have both balanced energies to move up into the God self levels or the I am levels because they're balanced energy. It's not male or female.
Mm-hmm.
And when he came in, I was just surrounded in this pure golden white light again. I felt that total bliss. And then the next thing you know, I was standing in front of him. And he was sitting on like a golden throne. He had pure golden energy, long golden hair, a golden beard. And it flowed into golden gown, a golden gown, you might say. And he was just sitting there kind of scratching his beard, staring at me with this all-knowing look. And when I just looked at him, I went, you know, like, whoa, you know. You know, like I'll be good. You know, that's all I could think of. It's like, what do you want me to do? You know, I couldn't even think of anything else.
So you met him on the astral.
It's beyond that, way beyond the astral.
So you met him in other planes.
Yeah, it's more like a. I would say he's more like a seventh dimensional being.
Mm-hmm. Ezekiel.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so
you started talking.
Yeah. What he did is he showed me a pillar, a small pillar in front of him on one side, which was a book, and the pages were blank. And I realized, you know, he sent me the message, you know, write the book. And he wanted me to write, you know, to bring in his transmissions and write the book. So I did. I wrote two books from that. And then on the other...
Now, when you were writing the book, were you actually seeing him, this were you actually with him in that other dimension?
When I was writing the book, it was a transmission, like a thought-to-thought transmission, or some people would call automatic writing.
Right.
And I would feel his energy. My whole crown would start tingling, and I'd feel the energy come through me. And, you know, it took me 11 years to get this book in a very clear fashion, a very simple fashion that everybody would understand, just because I didn't. I wanted it to have a very high level of integrity and not, you know, mislead anybody in any way whatsoever. So I was very intent on that and going over it again and again until I made sure I got the clearest message I could.
Now, who is Ezekiel in the Bible?
Actually, Ezekiel was a prophet in the Bible, and actually, I would say he was probably one of the original contactees, you know. Because you hear about his description of these metallic discs coming out of the firmament, you know, and they had bronze feet like calves and fire and brimstone coming out from under them. And when they landed, they sounded like a thousand rushing rivers. You know, it goes on and on. You know, they had wheels within wheels coming out of the other craft with flashing lights all around them. But, you know, it's pretty obvious with today's knowledge. When you read this passage, you go, boy, that was an encounter. You know, it was nothing other than an encounter. And then, you know, you hear all the other accounts in there about, you know, going over the river Chebar, and, you know, I think it was Elijah ascending in a fire chariot, and, And there's just, you know, the pillar clouds that were a fire by night and pillar clouds by day that hovered over Moses and then went across the Red Sea and then came back again. And they went over the Egyptian troops and made them very heavy.
Did Ezekiel know Moses?
You know, I would imagine so. On that level, they know everybody.
But I mean, in the physical, do they know each other? They weren't the same.
I don't think they're in the same time period. They might have been. Time is like, you know, I never got into the left brain mechanics of all that.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of a, you know, experiential thing and a feeling thing, and then putting the words to the feeling. You know, I never really went back in history with a...
Can I comment on that?
Calculator.
James?
Yes.
You know I love you. I do, because I've read all James' books, folks. All of them. Every one. And it's probably among the best I've ever read. And really, it's that good. It just rang with me, true, in every respect. Not much does. So I.
James? James?
Yes.
He used to say that to me until he read your books.
Oh, yeah? Well, we're on the same page.
Well, it's really because it's even today, even now, I get similar information as what has always been written in your book.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing's changed. Your book just has spelled it out, gave us almost like a whole path. It told us what we would encounter, and here we are.
You know, I wrote an email, which I send out on my email list that, you know, people can sign up for and it's free.
Yes, I've read it.
And I sent a thing out on the Earth Changes, and then I read Wynn's book, and I said, oh, my God, this is identical. It's even quoting the same research and everything, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like we're all being fed the same information.
The same information from different sources or different ways.
Detailed, too. I mean, even giving scientific evidence, everything is very detailed.
Yeah. It's amazing.
We're on the same page, you know, we're on the same frequency or the same line of communication.
Well, would you agree with this, James, that it seems to me today that we're almost absorbing wisdom? Okay, you can go with that? All right, well, that's what it feels like lately, and I mean, it almost seems like it's there, and it becomes a part of you, and you knew it's always been there, but just now it just seems so easy to integrate, and it's a hard thing for me to explain, but in other words, you're absorbing wisdom from something.
I can help explain that. You know, I'm sure it's going to be a limited explanation, but, you know, the bottom line is that it's like the source itself or the omnipresent creator is coming through all creation right now, and there's nowhere to hide, and we're going through a major shift. And if we understand the vibrational continuum, that everything moves from consciousness to light to energy to mass, we realize that we're actually being invaded right now from within by our own God selves. Or, you know, the creator within all creation. And it's not just us. It's coming through all creation.
That's right.
And there are so many people that have incarnated, right, you know, they've incarnated for these times. And there are people from the star nations, from these higher dimensions, are incarnating right now to anchor in this energy. And their great wisdom that they brought with us, or with them, is going into the collective consciousness. And it's just everybody's getting it right now. You know, it's so hard to hide from. You can't hide from the higher consciousness and energy or the source, you might say. Some are trying, you know. But, you know, some are really trying to stop this from happening as well. But, you know, it's a force and a power that no man can stop, and it's part of our evolutionary process. And there's really nothing that can stop this. It's going into high gear, and we're...
I agree, and your book's fully laid that out, and it's exactly what we're experiencing, and I think it's going to get more of the same, only more intense, more intense, more intense.
Yeah, this year we're going to go through thousands of years of evolution in 1 year.
Yeah.
So it's, hang on, folks. You know, we're going for a ride, and the Earth is expanding too, and she has to adjust to these new energies coming in, and you know, going back to physics, all this new energy coming in is being absorbed by the Earth itself, and the Earth is expanding, and, you know, she's under a lot of pressure right now. She's overheating. She's got to let go of that pressure, so we are going to see some pretty incredible earthquake and volcanic activity, you know, along with the oceans moving around.
Fireworks.
Exactly. You know, the weather, the erratic weather, you know, the global warming is actually aggravated by man, you know, with the CO2 and the pollution and everything else, but it's also a natural event that's unfolding.
Well, but, sure, we just sped it up. We just sped it up, and it seems to me we actually got a reprieve, and maybe somehow our timeline
mm-hmm.
has been altered, that we got a little bit of extra time. Just feels that way.
Yeah, we were, definitely.
Yeah, I don't know why, it just feels like that, and but I think that we are accelerating the process, definitely.
I think there's going to be a split in consciousness, and there's people that are going to take the downward spiral, and they're just going to focus on materiality and control and power and domination.
I think that's happening right now before our eyes. Yeah.
And that's going to be amplified, and you know, it's going to be brought right up the surface for all of us to see. And the majority of the planet actually wants to live in harmony with each other and with nature, and they're just done with the greed and the destruction and the war and the disease profiteering. So I think these groups are going to actually implode on themselves. Their karma is going to be accelerated, and the reaction to their actions is going to be accelerated. So that downward spiral is going to be amplified and accelerated, as well as the upward spiral, and we get to choose which path we take.
That's right, which also means that we, the observers, are going to see this amplification, and it's going to become almost hilariously obvious what's being done to us, or how the deceit and how far. But again, it'll be humorous. Keep the humor.
That's what Eckhart Tolle said. You know, he said, you know, this is a tragic comedy.
It is.
Happening but here. And it's, you know, but it's, you almost have to laugh at it because it's so ridiculous now.
But you do have to continue with that humor, because that's the beauty of it.
It's
keeping that joy no matter what, even though it's satirical and you know, keep the joy high, the humor high. Because it's so obvious what I see in the news, what I read, what mainstream media and the Bush and Co. are doing, and what they're trying to enforce, and all the underpinnings and underminings and deceit that they're trying to pull. It's so obvious that I look around, and I know everybody I know knows it's obvious.
Oh, yeah. And you know,
everybody at this point is starting to realize how obvious it is, except, again, for those on the other side of the division.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, what's funny is that even the news right now, it's gotten so obvious they're starting to cover some of this stuff. You know, I like the, you know, like at the Chicago O'Hare Airport, this UFO comes down, hovers right over the airport there. I mean, that's one of the biggest airports here on the planet, you know, and just sits there and hovers. All the pilots
don't like that story, and nothing. I mean, they got nothing.
Yeah, and you know, people, you know, the Chicago Tribune, you know, went out and interviewed the pilots, they interviewed the workers, the ground crew on the ground, the officials, you know, and they said, yeah, it was a real event. Everybody said the same thing, saw the same thing. They saw a metallic disc punch a big hole through the clouds as it left, and you know, these are pilots that know what they're looking at. And, you know, they did everything they could to tear that paper down, and the guy that wrote the article, and from what I understand now, that the Chicago Tribune is actually suing the people that...
James, the spaceship landed, and it said, hi, James.
Yeah.
Would you come in?
I can barely hear you now.
Oh, excuse me. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's better.
I wanted to ask you, let me skip that question. Maybe I'll go back to it. What is your understanding of ascension? What are your sources coming through of when, how it's going to feel, how to qualify for it, all those things? Because those are things that I've gotten a lot of very specific information on.
Yeah, my understanding of ascension is this. We have it backwards. Most of the stuff we've been taught is really a backwards approach. And people think that they're... going to take off and leave this place. They want to get out of here, that this is a really bad place, and their bodies are unholy and ungodly, and the physical's ungodly and unholy. And that's the program that a lot of camps are running, even some of the New Age camps or the spiritual camps. But the problem with that is that we need to bring heaven to earth. We need to bring spirit down into the body, into the physical, and master judgment and realize, you know. Now, this is going to sound really bad, you know, very blasphemous or whatever, but there were some fundamentalist people that really came down on me, and they were saying all this stuff. And I said, well, you know, I've got one question for you, you know. I said, you know, you guys really need to stop cutting the nuts off of Jesus and get him off the cross. And I want you to think about it. Did he poop in the desert? Come on. You know, let's bring heaven down to earth. Let's get real about this. You know, they've totally dehumanized Jesus, and they've kept him so far away from us and humanity. And that way they can be the go-between.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really sad, you know, the way they... So they've always created this myth.
They've
heaven,
always created a phone line.
Yeah, that heaven is somewhere way the hell out there. You'll never be worthy of it. You've got all these grounded base issues. And you know, and Jesus said that heaven is all around you. He made it very clear. He said, for those with eyes to see, you know, heaven, when are you going to show us heaven? He goes, it's all around you. It's a state of consciousness. So what I think ascension is letting go of all separation, of seeing God in everyone and everything, mastering judgment, and calling on that higher frequency to come into you and lift your body and, you know, change your reality and use that higher consciousness and energy to go out into the collective consciousness and, you know, assist in the awakening healing process. You know, use it in your own unique way. And each person needs to make their own connection with spirit and also find out their own unique purpose for being here and get on with it. That's the only way, you know, we are going to bring heaven to earth and we are going to create the ascension process.
Well, I mean, in your awareness...
In fact, I have a...
let me just finish this one.
Sorry, I apologize.
Yeah. In your awareness, are you seeing a separation of souls? I mean, that's pretty consistent in the information that I'm getting, that there's going to be these people that go this way and these people that go that way.
Yes, there's definitely, you know, I've heard some people think that they're the only ones that are going to be in heaven. You know, you're not going to see a Hindu or a Muslim, or you're not going to see a Native American or anybody else there, you know, because, you know, they didn't dunk their head in the water by their minister in a perfect way. And it's just unbelievable, you know. And you know, I think the core issue on the planet right now, the very core issue that we're dealing with, is the concept of separation. And you cannot separate yourself or others or life in general from, you know, the omnipresent creator that's within all creation. There is no separation in omnipresent. And the only way these people can continue to do harmful acts to each other, to war, create the diseases, you know, destroy nature, all of this stuff is the belief in separation.
That's correct. In fact, before fear, there's separation. And interestingly enough, that's exactly what the growth curve is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that separation, how much you believe in that separation.
You know, how do you compete against yourself?
You can't.
You know, that's the whole program now is separation, competition, you know, fighting over resources, lack, you know, all this stuff is all manufactured. Lack is manufactured. And when we drop this concept of separation and stop with the competitive program and all the other programs given to us and start seeing, you know, the creator within all creation and acting accordingly, then we will have heaven on earth.
I agree. It's almost like you got to think of yourself as almost like an electronic part or a piece of equipment being sent signals. And if you're not thinking outside of the signals, if you're not, you know, you're just kind of a piece of the machinery.
Yeah.
And you won't be able to make changes, create changes. You just become I don't know, somebody who's not really making a cause, but just being an effect.
I tell you what's really interesting is that people have this concept of ETs, you know, and this little bug-eyed boy, you know, that's running around grabbing cattle and people, you know, and they don't even realize that there's Nordic beings, there's ultra-dimensional beings that are exquisitely beautiful. They're very, very spiritually and technologically advanced. And when you talk to these beings, the messages are almost biblical. It's amazing because they talk a lot about God. They talk about God is coming, but they say that God is a force and a frequency. It's a consciousness. They don't have, you know, the 11,000 images we have on Earth, you know, with teachings around those images. You know, they see it as the omnipresent creator within all creation, and they see themselves a part of it, and they serve creation. They've gotten past, you know, the ego drive and the separate drive and, you know, all the other nonsense. So people don't realize that a lot of times when they're getting messages from these ultra-dimensionals and these higher higher ETs, I might say, they're actually thinking they're getting messages from angelic beings or ascended masters, but it very well could be coming from one of these other extremely advanced beings, and it could be coming from angelic guides and masters as well, because they're all working on the same team. Hello? Is anybody there?
No, I was just thinking about what you said. It was, to me, absolutely correct. It feels like we're just being fed a lot of information, data, and
oh, yeah.
We can absorb that data and move in harmoniously with these changes, or we can resist it.
Yeah, and you know, this program right here and the radio show that you're doing there and the whole blog and radio is part of that process of getting that information out there to people so they can kind of rethink where they're going and, you know, and how we can... You know what's funny? This came to me, and it's kind of a strange information, but I was getting kind of like the Earth right now. It's like we have this big sewer leak, you know, and
right.
Our septic tanks are full. I mean, we are so full, they're overflowing, and you know, we've got to pump all the garbage out of our political system, out of our religious systems, and our business systems. We've got to, you know, clean all the crap out of there. You know, because there's nowhere else for it to go. And, you know, this war industry and the tyranny and the disease industry, all this stuff is spilling out now, and it's going off into other countries and other, affecting other cultures. And, you know, there's a time where we have to go back up and go, you know, we've got a serious problem here at home. And we need to really clean this up because, you know, we're going to be knee-deep in manure here really soon, you know, so... So that's kind of where we're at right now, and I think, you know, there's a great wave coming, you know, of higher consciousness and energy, and, you know, the denser, heavier energies, you know, are not going to fare well when this energy comes through, and there's going to be a major cleanup. You know, it's like the broken part is probably going to get cut out, the septic tank is going to get pumped, and the lines are going to be cleaned, and everything is going to start flowing again, but... A lot of it's up to us to start working on these blockages, not just within ourselves, but within all of our institutions. You know,
I agree.
And doing the repair work, you know, that needs to get done.
James, it's the only way to do it. If we don't do it now, you know, if we don't take that responsibility now, well, then who's going to take it? Because I don't think there's much of a future.
No, it's going to be done. You know,
yeah.
One way or the other. It
yeah.
Just depends on how severe we want to experience.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
If we call out and ask for help on a regular basis and make our own personal God connection and do our prayer and meditation work and start cleaning up this energy, not just within ourselves, but we can also ask for help from the higher planes and dimensions, we can turn this around.
I agree.
And
that's
that is my whole focus is to... You know, actually bring heaven to earth and turn this planet around and hopefully not have it go through such severe changes.
You know, that's exactly what I've been doing on my conference call, where we've created a portal between those other dimensional guys and,
mm-hmm.
and the people on the call. And we, during the time we do the call, they're coming into each person's space. People are, you know, they're explaining how it works. And they do need to be asked. And asking means reaching out vibrationally beyond so they can find you.
I agree.
Can't see you if you're contracted.
That's right. We've got about, we're over about a minute. So we're at 56 after. We've got the Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy show coming up here in about 4 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So we should close by calling in the light. And,
hey, Don, don't you remember that time Fred overextended himself a half hour into our show?
No, but we got to end here in less than 24 minutes.
James?
Yes.
You know, we end the show with a calling in of the light.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to say hello to Don's mother and his aunt. And Fred, if you're listening, I was just kidding. And we're honored to be here before you. So let's call in the light real quickly. And this is an invocation to oneness. All right?
Okay. Thank you.
And we invite all our listeners to join in with us in spirit and consciousness. So wherever you are listening, for a moment, our souls and spirits can touch and radiate over the planet. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here, and that any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and dispersed for the highest good of all concerned. We open ourselves up to that flow of energy radiating from the center of the galaxy, the Hu-Nab-Ku, that energy flowing through our solar system, through the Earth's outer perimeter fields of energy, grids, so it hits our bodies, the top of our heads. Each of us listening right now can feel that energy move through your head, your crown chakra, and down through your body, through your feet, into the center of the earth. And each of us can radiate this energy into our own families and into our own communities for the highest good of all concerned, and take part in this transformation that's happening on planet Earth. We bless you. God bless you all. We'll see you next week. Thank you, James, for being with us. Anything you'd like to add to that, James or Don?
No, time to phone home.
James, thank you very much.
All right,
much.
Good night.
It was a pleasure having you with us, James.
All right, peace be with you guys.
And to our audience, stay tuned. We're going to be coming right up with Fred Bell and the Health, Science, and Energy show. It's one you don't want to miss. So stick around. We'll be right back.
I love you.